Morning. We're going to be in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain, where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf, having become a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Amen.
I graduated back in 2008 from Bible College in Hot Springs, Arkansas, Champion Baptist College. After graduation, I and a few of my friends decided we were going to take a road trip on the way back to Pennsylvania. I was getting married a few months later to this gorgeous woman right up here in the front. Yeah, give it up for her. But we were going to go and have some fun as this last hurrah, and we stopped in Kansas City and Chicago, Detroit, Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, Baltimore. But a few hours into this trip, outside of Joplin, Missouri, it started hailing as I had never seen it hail before. And it was raining down so hard, we could hardly see each the cars in front of us. We could hardly talk to each other with how loud it was. And all of a sudden, this little 1993 Honda Civic began to rock and roll. We thought it was going to flip. That's how hard the wind was. And then we see this large, dark cylinder go in front of us, slowly on the road, just like 100 yards ahead of us. We were scared out of our minds. My 20-year-old brother was texting my mom how much he loved her, which shows you like how scared we were. One of my friends said, hey, maybe we should pray, and we did. We were saying our goodbyes to each other, making things right with each other. We thought we were going to die. After that storm passed, we got enough courage to start driving, and just ahead of us were several cars flipped over in ditches, houses that were missing roofs. Here's some pictures of just, there's a couple pictures of just some of the tornado that we just barely missed out on. It was a crazy experience. And that day, I figured out why they called natural disasters acts of God. Because the sheer power on display was awe-inspiring. And I learned that day that one moment you could be bebopping down the road with your friends, and the next moment it's the Wizard of Oz and you're almost sucked up into a tornado. Psalms 78:39 tells us that man's life is like a breeze that passes and comes not again. So here's the question for us today. What do you hold on to when the storms and tornadoes of life pass through your existence? For those guys in that car, in that storm, it became clear that we really did believe that prayer worked because we were doing it. In the storm, it became clear that family and friends were some of the most important things in life because that's who we were reaching out to. We had these big plans for this big last hurrah as single friends, but we found out pretty quickly that our plans had little weight and that everything can change in a moment. So what does your life hold on to? What does your soul hold on to when the whirlwind comes through your home life, through your work life, your health, your family? What gives you peace? What gives you the confidence that you are going to be okay? What does your soul hold on to? Brett just read in Hebrews 6, 19. We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain. We have an anchor in the storm, something to hold on to, something to clutch when uncertainty comes. The verse before this says, hold fast to the hope. And we read in that context, that hope is Jesus. The last half of the verse that Brett read says that our hope enters into the inner place behind the curtain. That's a reference to the Hebrew temple. Only the priest could go behind the curtain into the Holy of Holies. And the priest's job was to go into the inner place on behalf of the people. Jesus is our hope that goes to bat for us on our behalf. Jesus is the only thing that we can hold on to when our pain and our problems come. Last week we saw David ask the question, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? Hope in God. Your money is not going to help you when it all falls apart. Your job title, your intellect, your education, your vacations or your fishing boat, none of that will be worth it when the storms and the tornadoes in life come." But this is an amazing promise. In all the confusion and in all the chaos in life, we actually do know someone who never changes and something that we can put our faith in. Judah Smith says, "What Jesus did on the cross covers our past and gives us hope for the future, but it also gives us something to hold on to today." We often think about how our sin is covered, and we think about how one day we'll get to go to heaven because we are children of God, but it also is so important for you to have something to hold on to right now, and that thing is Jesus. Without an anchor, it's so easy to drift. I have a kayak, and it's a fun thing to fish off of. I've used it, especially when I was in Georgia, I was able to fish off of it on lakes. And it's crazy how it works. I'll find a good fishing hole, and I'll throw the line in, and I'll cast it a few times. But before I know it, I've drifted far away from where I thought I was because I don't have an anchor. And the water takes me wherever it wants to. The water can be calm as glass, but without an anchor, I still will drift. And I couldn't imagine what it would be like in a storm with a kayak. I'd be tossed to and fro. And in this life, do you have an anchor? Are you drifting through life? Do you even realize how far you've drifted from who you thought you were? Have you ever looked around and said, "How did I find myself here? Doing these things, focusing on this stuff, being hung up, being bitter, acting this way, saying things with this attitude, going further than I ever thought I'd go before." It's easy to drift when we don't have an anchor. You need an anchor. But an anchor doesn't help when it's in the bottom of the boat. It's got to reach outside the boat for grip. And can we all just admit that we need help? Our inward man needs help from the outside. Sometimes I feel overwhelmed as a husband. I know that I fall short. Sometimes I feel like I'm in over my head as a parent. I know I don't have the answers. Sometimes I feel so unworthy to be your pastor when I don't know what to do. And I have to reach outside myself to reach back home to my foundation because we find our home in Him. My most common go-to prayer is, "God, I need you. God, I need you. God, I don't have the answers. I need you. God, I don't have the strength to parent like you want me to. I need you. God, I know that I'm not the husband that I should be. I need you." I've got to anchor my soul every day. I've got to put my trust in that hope, and His name is Jesus. Because if I don't do that, I will drift so far from who I'm made to be. I don't know how people who have rejected Jesus even get through the day with no anchor. There are those that have built their foundation on self-esteem or on accomplishments or their own self-will. But when the storms come through life, these things will fail and they will be left drifting and lost. So many people wait till they're in the storm to check if they have an anchor. And that's like waiting till you're free-falling to check if you have a parachute. Don't wait till you're in the middle of a life-shattering situation to check your relationship with your Maker. If you don't have an anchor, your soul is in trouble. But once you have an anchor, there isn't much that you can add to what the anchor is doing. The emphasis in this verse is not on the boat, but on the anchor. We have this sure and steadfast anchor of the soul. The anchor holds the boat. And if you put your trust in Jesus, he will hold you. See, the emphasis is not on how tight you hold on to the anchor, but how tight the anchor is holding on to you. The Bible tells us in John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one will be able to snatch them out of the Father's hands. Once you've accepted Jesus, he's never going to let you go. Jesus is the hero of the passage, just like every passage. It's not about how tight you hold on to him. It's about how tight he is holding on to you. Over and over in God's word, it tells us, I will never leave you nor forsake you. God won't ever leave you. Once you're his child forever. It's settled. Once you're saved, you're saved. But you can step away from following him. Just like the prodigal son left his home to waste his life. Meister Eckhart says, God is at home. It's we who have gone out for a walk. God is at home. It's we who have gone out for a walk. And maybe that's you today. Maybe who you used to be is so different than who you are right now. God didn't change. You walked away. And just like the prodigal son, though, God is waiting for you to come home. We find our home in him. And you might be someone today that's all tore up about a situation in your life, and it's got your complete and utter focus, and it's all that you can see. And like Peter, you look down at the storms while Jesus is there walking on water, and you take your faith off of him, and you try to fix it, and you try to make it better, and you try to force it, and what you really need to do is let go. Let go and let him hold you. Put your faith in him, in that anchor. Let down your anchor into the rock of ages. Have you ever been in a boat that almost went down? About 15 years ago, one of the friends who was in that tornado with me, actually all four of them were there with me, he was getting married, and so as good Christian boys, we didn't have the type of bachelor party that other people do. We rented a pontoon boat, and with 12 other guys, we set out on a lake to jump off some cliffs and have some fun and do that kind of stuff. We stopped for a moment, and we're jumping off the sides of the boat, having a blast. We decided to head to a different area. So we rev up the engine, and we're speeding along, but then we notice that the ladder on the front of the pontoon boat is down, and that's, you're not supposed to do that. And full disclosure, there was too many people on the boat to begin with. So everybody's kind of going to the front to try and help each other get this ladder up as we're speeding around. Well, apparently there was a little bit too much weight in the front because the boat nosedived down into the water. The back of the boat went flying up into the air. The engine was completely out of the water, and we all jumped out. And this was another time that I thought was going to die. I might need some new friends. But isn't life just like that sometimes? You're cruising along. It's a sunny day. You're having fun. Then all of a sudden, you nosedive into something. You're going under. And maybe right now, you're in that nosedive moment, and this is your wake-up call. Or maybe you're still in that moment. And right now, maybe you feel like you're going under. And that addiction that you thought was conquered is creeping back in. Or maybe the relationships that you had, they're causing issues and problems. Maybe you're on the edge of giving up. Maybe you're in over your head. Emotionally, you're done. In those times when the tornadoes and the storms and the floods come, and you feel like you're going down, you have to know that the answer isn't within you. You're not going to figure it out. You're not going to be smart enough. You're not going to be strong enough. You have to reach out. And the answer isn't to row harder or to be better. The answer is Jesus. And Jesus has put not only what he wants you to know in his word, but he's also put people around you that you can lean on, that you can confess, that you can start over, that you can get accountability from. That's what the church is meant to be. The answer is not within you. It's in Jesus. Psalms 40, verse 2 says, he drew me up from the pit of destruction, out of the miry bog, and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. Maybe that's you. Maybe you're sinking today. Maybe you're neck deep in the stuff that you've created. And when we're going under, you got to reach outside yourself. He can pick us up out of the swamp and place us on that firm foundation. In the first century church, the anchor was a symbol that the persecuted church used as a secret way to identify themselves during this time of persecution. It was a symbol of hope and security when their worlds were falling apart. Imagine what life was like then, when you had to leave home and your job and all these things because you wanted to follow Jesus. Many Christians put that anchor symbol on their tombstone. And that symbol reminds us that Jesus is our stability, our confidence, and our certainty. While life may be unstable at times, Jesus is our stability in rough waters. If you go over here, we have a little prayer room that we will pray with people and minister to people over there after the service. And that prayer room in the stained glass has that symbol of the anchor to remind us that Jesus is our anchor. So that's the question for you today. Do you have that anchor? Do you have that hope? And my prayer for you right now in this moment is that you feel the nudging of God to search what you're holding on to. Do you have that trustworthy anchor? Are you trusting in that anchor or in your own strength? We rest that anchor on Jesus. We find our home in him. Bankruptcy, divorce, foreclosure, in the biggest storms in our life, we have a hope, a sure thing, something that doesn't move, a foundation. Jesus is that sure thing. Jesus is our refuge and our strength. You were made to walk in relationship with your Maker. We find our home in him. When you're struggling as a parent, when you're nosediving at work, when you're in over your head in your marriage, you can reach out and say, Lord, I need you. We find our home in him. He can pick up our soul. He can do miraculous things. Have hope. You have a Savior that goes to bat for you, and no one can snatch you from his grip. Hebrews 6:19, we have this sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Today I want to take a little bit extra time in our invitation. There are those today, I'm sure, that need to come to that conclusion that they need help outside themselves. Whether it's something that happened in your past, something that you're scared about in the moment right now and fears overcoming you, or something that you're worried about in the future. You need to say to God, I don't have the answers. I need you to do it. God, I'm going to stop trying to make this happen, and I'm going to trust in you. God, I'm going to let go of that thing that I've held on to, and I'm going to move forward with you. I'm going to come back home. I'm going to run back to you. Let's stand to our feet as the worship team is going to play. I want to challenge you. There's nothing magical about this place up here at the front that we call the altar, but there is something special about taking a step that changes you, a step that says, I don't care what else happens. I don't care who sees. I'm not going to lean into fear. I need help outside myself. And there's something special when we move. So I'm going to invite you, if you want someone to pray with you, a church family member, to come and pray over you, I want to encourage you, as they play, to come forward. Don't wait till the last line. Don't wait and say, well, I don't have to do it right now. We want to be with you in the storm. But if you keep it to yourself and you try and do it on your own, it's not going to go well. You have an anchor, and his name is Jesus, and we want to join in prayer with you and take your concerns to Jesus with you. So as they start, you come.